Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
podcasts. Actually, while sitting in a train, travelling back up to the Blue Mountains, up to Glenbrook and the Blue Mountains, having attended on Saturday, I think the first of the month, something called Audiocraft, a podcast festival it's called, and this particular podcast is going to try and deal with the issue of microphone selection. I sort of got an abject lesson in that, and I went to a session called a masterclass, which is basically a semi-hands-on tutorial on the actual hardware of podcasting, given by Fiona Smith, an FY, Fiona Smith. And she showed a few microphones, which I'll have to get. And now, what I'm doing is, I suppose while I'm getting the notes out for it, I should explain that I'm in podcast space, or this imagined space, and I realise that I'm a long way out of it. And so this is particularly what would technically be called a voice memo, because there's no production on it. I've just set up everything and I've put it into the computer and it gets broadcasted instantly. So I will produce several podcasts a day. And the aim of my aim is actually a personal aim. It's actually not to get an audience. It's to actually get on top of podcasting to get cognitive therapy. So I've had strokes about 2 years ago, and I've just slowly been crawling out of the water. And the aim is actually not to produce quality podcasts, because that takes time. So it's much better for me to produce 10 podcasts than one quality podcast, unfortunately for the listeners. So what that's meant is that I've got a small listener group around the world, not very many people, who are into the idea of someone recovering, and they're into the fact that the podcasts are done immersed in the environment, following me up. I may have a cold or something like that, and I'm always doing some activity. So this is another really important aspect for cognitive development. I have to actually do an activity while doing a cognitive activity. So that might be balancing, it may be boxing. I obviously don't podcast while boxing. while walking and navigating, I'm speaking at the same time, taking in things. And you can't really speak. I realise you can't speak in the city, because there's everyone around that you sound like a madman. So I was all ready to podcast coming out of the afters thing at Randwick. Come walk across there. And of course you couldn't do it. There's people around. And then when it was quiet, the wind was blowing so hard, so I put it inside my jacket, the microphone inside my jacket, and the jacket ruffled. And so, yeah, this is one of the things to get across. Now, if you draw an island around in some sort of space, the podcasting credo, which is quality and sound quality and content quality and whole production process where it's all finished and great respect for the listener, and that the listener is a very fragile thing, that they will disappear, and from a fragile base, it's sort of like a pot plant. If you don't feed it and water it all the way through, you're not going to have something enormously successful. So really, podcasting in this view is not like a private idea. It's still in the mold of a commercial, alongside TV programs, radio production, books. To have success, it's got to have here. Of course, that's not there. I've got my own cognitive thing to go to. But then it means that I've got a unique microphone thing of having a microphone which works. I think that, I remember now, it's called a Zoom microphone. Now, this is another thing I have to do with the podcast, is pop them out quickly and then test my memory in writing up what the podcast is about. Possibly a quiz, possibly a few things like that. and popping them out. And so I've started off separately, and I'm in the rapid response podcast. So a quick podcast in responding to a situation, typically a student's problem, a question posed to me. I will think about it. Unfortunately, I'm not a very spontaneous person. I think about it, construct the podcast, give the podcast out, and it goes out. The rest of the time, I read through books, podcasts through a book, session by session, might give commentary on it at a particular point, or stop and read a relevant article to it. And it's a long episode. Now, the basic thing is that, unlike the podcast people there who are customers of technology, I'm sort of knocked out as a scientist, knocked out, and as a research scientist, you size the problem up and you work out what you can produce. So one of the things I have done is written all my own software. It's not up to the level of Hindenburg software, but it's slightly different for the purpose. And I could monitor the sound level and adjust for the sound level, and get the sound level the same all the way through and get it to monitor the silence. That was a bit complex because the main objective is to get something quality enough to get the rehab up. And there again, it's post-production, obviously it doesn't match the actual quality at the moment. So at the moment, so I'm sitting on the train into Lithgow, and it's an 8-carriage train. I'm able to walk up, and at this time, with everyone going to Vivid, the carriage is empty. And so I'm just speaking to myself in this empty carriage. In the Blue Mountains, you can stand up and you can walk. And you can walk into the Australian bush at night, albeit at night, and walk up and down. And this is one of the things I realised, is that there is a lot of overlaid with podcasts, a lot of the issues of power and space and stuff like that. So I realised that as a man, I can walk anywhere at night without much fear, and I can be speaking around. If someone thinks I'm odd, that's okay. A woman, it's a bit different. And a podcast has to be done in a space and listening to people. People were all very connected to what people thought of them, all relationships and stuff like that. So I haven't done that. I've just bumbled through the technology. What is the best technology for the cheapest amount? Well, I would really say $50, $10 is the maximum I would spend. So a Zoom microphone is quite an investment to look at. And it's not necessarily the microphone that people want, but it looks as though a Zoom microphone there is. But going through the microphone technology, you had the cardioid, the bi-directional microphone, which is used to be typically a metal filament in a magnetic field, and the metal filament vibrated, created a current. This is an old technology.
Good evening, customers. Welcome to the 624 Lithgow service.
There you go.
Train is due to depart in approximately 4 minutes.
Okay.
Our first stop is Strathfield, followed by Parramatta, Blacktown, Penrith, Emu Plains, Lavington, Glenbrook, Blacksland, Warramoo, Valley Heights, Springwood, Falconbridge, Linden, Woodford, Hazelbrook, Lawson, Wentworth Falls, Luro, Katoomba, Medlow Bar, Blackheath, Mount Victoria, Bell and Zigzag only
just
is
looking
required
up.
And finally Lithgow. Customers for Bell and Zigzag must come to the guard at the rear of the train to advise that you need those stops, otherwise we will not stop there.
Okay. And
customers for Linden and Bell must ride in the rear four cars. Customers for Zigzag must ride near the rear door right next to the guard. Customers are reminded that all stations from Emu Plains up to Medlow Bus are short platforms with the exception of Katoomba. At Emu Plains, you must ride in the front seven cars to access the platform, whereas from Lapston through to Lura plus Medlow Bus, you must ride in the rear seven cars to access the platform. Please listen to the announcement.
Okay, there's more customers here, so I'll have to stop up at this point in time. Thanks a lot for listening. I'll start again later on when I can. So continuing this podcast, this will sound as though no time has passed, but now we're on the train just from Emu Plains, so there'll be a few up to Glenbrook on the way home. Yeah, so the general point is that yes, I'm in this place, but I can only podcast when there's no one else about the place, and it's something impossible to can do in the remote sections of Australia. Now, getting back to it, there's the awesome problem of A, that I'm doing something perhaps unusual, writing my own software and producing basically, what's it called, voice memos and pumping them out thick and fast with a large quantity of people. But also there is the problem of getting a microphone and getting rid of the correct microphone, but also the background noise. And this comes, there is a range of microphone technologies out here called phase array microphones, and you haven't covered those. You probably won't know them unless you're in conferencing, and this is a series of 8 microphones which are spread on a bar, and this bar listens for the sound wave to hit it at a certain rate, the 8 at a certain rate, and it can actually pull out a voice against background, because of it. And I'm thinking of various ways besides that to actually get voices, and this is a series of microphones, four microphones sort of dangling down from you, and the two microphones ahead of you construct to actually only pick up voice between your from your mouth direction, so it basically will only pick up, it's like a directional microphone, a shotgun microphone, but fires directly upwards. And then the other two microphones underneath pick up the background noise, and I just had a quick listen to this, and it's got the background noise of the carriage and stuff like that. So there's a great interest in it in terms of it is a different aspect. However, it's the sort of thing that I think is necessary. Like, you've got a topic, you can do a very quick podcast, ask one basic question and get through to it. You can improve on it. However, there's sort of other needs that there is really things require sort of saturation podcasting. Say the school syllabus, really for every syllabus point there should be multiple podcasts, a podcast for lesson plans, and just a podcast environment wrapping up the syllabus. And what you need there is a quick saturation of podcasts, and then the actual podcasts, if they're not up to scratch, are removed or replaced with a better, higher quality podcast, so people can actually take 3 or 4 podcasts, listen to them, and produce one which replaces them all with a much higher quality. And at the moment, this doesn't happen. There's not this population of podcasts surrounding an item or an event, a whole series of podcasts, where the viewer can listen and sort of populate the best podcasts around it. Now, that sort of thing happens with, naturally, with the internet. You get lots of people posting online, but only certain pages reach the top by this selection method. And so there is, I suppose, multiple aspects, multiple levels there. So one of the things that the podcasts tend to do is they tend to have a broadcast. I'm just going through Lapstone at the moment. They've got a broadcast. They tend to go through multiple...
This station is Lapstone. Please mind the gap. Use the
reach
7 cars.
Okay, they tend to go through multiple, people with low abilities, high abilities, interest people, and sort of very high people with very strong interests pay a price for the cut down information or the style guide to get a large cohort up. Now, the more specialist podcasts like this really doesn't care about that. Sort of tries to.
Doors closing. Please stand clear.
Tries to actually get the content out fast and high precision. So if you look at that, you've got a long content, a long incubation period, a large amount of effort invested, and then a larger, broader audience. This one is a very quick, but a very short audience. But then it's sort of a short time span, but it can sort of twinkle in and twinkle out and start to populate an area around an object. Like I'm thinking of like the physics syllabus or the maths syllabus or the geography or history syllabus, where people can actually talk on a particular topic or a point and get it out there. And, you know, people may not be interested. People
may be. Our next stop is Glenbrook.
And that's the...
Followed by Blaxland, then Warramoo, next stop Glenbrook. And these platforms are all V7 cars only.
And that's the stop I'll be getting out. And so I won't freak. One of the things is that when you're speaking a podcast and people don't know what's going on, the assumption is that you are mad and it's not that I could speak and I really wouldn't care, it's just that it makes people, or could make someone, say in a carriage where there's this power thing, incredibly mad, whereas if you're walking at night or people are in their property, they don't really mind if you're speaking as you go across. What I'll do is I'll try, you'll be going through the tunnel, I'll stop on the light and probably finish this off and wrap it up as we go home with just a brief chat about the podomation technology. And some of the podcasts that I'm going across are generally podcasts about a topic, a science magazine, a book, or a technology push. That may take, I may be building a circuit or writing a program, and I'll put out hours of podcasts on it. Now, you can hear me going through the tunnel, and it is indeed completely empty. Here, isn't that amazing? Can you hear it going through? I should be able to go through here. So, one of the things that I want to say, going through here, is that there's the assumption that, I don't know, you go into producing software. The reason I produce software is simply the lack of money that I have. So I had no money, so I may as well write my own software. But also the cognitive load of like writing the software, there's no individual step which is sort of mind-blowingly impossible. Or moreover, there's the issue trying to get through. Sorry, this is really too loud. I'll just be quiet for the moment. Oh no, it's gone through. Oh, that's the issue as we're going through the Glenbrook Tunnel. The issue is getting the... It's not that the problems are hard. The problems are hard. The solutions seem simple, then they don't work. And then the process of finding new solutions sort of break through. The most, I suppose, most important thing to do is understand the fundamental MP3 file structure or the podcast file structure is that the actual file itself is wrapped in a wrapper. And so it's like sliced cheese. It's got wrapping on it. And you want to put two slices of cheese next to it. You have to remove the wrapping from it. See, there's people waiting for it at the station. Okay, I'll be getting out here. Yeah, so ideally, being a scientist, I know how to build a microphone which will automatically sample the background noise and give you a walking lab, podcast studio on the go. It's just I don't think people will want to do that. I can also, you also can actually place the microphone very close, sort of just in front of your chin, so to speak, so you can speak really quietly going through it. Now, the going back to the software, I have now the ability to mix and match files. So I have a thing where you keep on talking little bits and pieces, and so you can pick it up. You can take a strip of files and just voice put them together. Or you can have something which, say you'll be talking for a while, and then you don't know where you're going to talk. And at the end, I'm going to have to take this off. Hope everything's okay. Yeah, you take, I'm just putting my Opal card, code card through. Oh, there you go. It's through. It's taken everything off. So that was only $2.70 additional to the bus fare. So the bus fare is huge. Going out into Vivid, walking across to Wynyard Station. You can hear me going up. And there is actually no wind at the moment. And that's essentially that's a major thing. I'm doing a lot of building here. Yeah, so the software, if you run it yourself, has the ability to do these things. Now, if you start to add advanced mathematics to the idea of structuring things, you can get a basic program format, a lesson format, and leave gaps in it for a basic explanation format. So what you can do is get the same information, and you can have a podcast in a particular format. The computer can cut it up and then reformat that same information into four separate, synthetic podcasts. And that is, basically an introduction podcast saying what the lesson is going to be, a study podcast which, poses a question, gives an explanation, poses the question, gives the answer again, for these, up to 10 multiple choice questions. Then, for an in-class test, asks the question, then gives the, multiple choice thing, goes through all 10 multiple choice, so you write it down, then it gives the answers, 1, 2, 3, up to 10, so correct it, and then it gives the explanations for all of those, you know, why it's like that, so you can run through the test, and then if you want to, you can run through the answers, and then if people don't know, go across. I think that's done, or it can just do the, that's in a class, but in a trained format, where you're trying to test your knowledge, and so that's one where you've got a block of, I don't know, 20 minutes to do a class test, then takes the same information and cuts it up again, but this time, after each multiple choice question, the answer is given, and then the explanation for it, and so that's an actual awful, a small amount of work, which then gets published to a large quantity. Now, the actual discipline and training to actually do that is extremely hard, because you essentially have to give an explanation. So what the way that it does happen is that in general, people, if they ask a question and give an answer and then explain it, it's very hard to keep on topic. But if you give an explanation first, you explain a certain thing, and then you think of a question which relates to that explanation, that's got a beautiful overlap. And because you have given the explanation with the answer, your question, you know very much the first answer, and so you can think of the alternative and distractors, and it's a very powerful thing, and that can be linked to e-learning. So you can do the test on home and just press your mobile phone as you listen to it to which answer it is, and it can give a complete audio map. Now, all these things are external to the current understanding of what a podcast is. So I'm doing a whole lot of forbidden things. That is, the idea of a mobile podcast studio, which is pretty insane, and then the idea of simple podcasts. Now, the ability to just take a podcast and to modify it so the sound levels are correct and are basic things. I have the ability to actually call things up on the mobile phone. So call things up on the software. So essentially the robotics software is the same software used to automate an industry, a car production line. But instead of a car production line, it actually automates a suite of freely available open source software. And essentially is an automation of open source software. Now, this is very much FMPEG, and I've forgotten the various names. This is what the engines of Audacity and other things sit on top. They sit on top of open source software. When you have a graphical interface, which you feel that you're doing, but in the background it's writing the software. Now, the difference here is that as a graphical interface, there's a robotic interface that writes the various things on the fly, and just keeps on. So from the moment that you put in your USB stick, which I'll do here, it will do everything and even publish it on the web and be just sitting there ready to go. And so therefore, I think the maximum number of podcasts I've done in a day, probably 8 or 10 podcasts in a day, and some are okay. There's, you know, there is an audience out there who are insensitive to poor quality. However, this is a different strategy. You get the base up, and then you pull out and pull in different improvements. Now, this entire idea is the way a research scientist would approach it. So what happens is that, say, if you've got an idea and you set it up, and you set up a what's called concept prototype. So you've got the bits and pieces that actually don't work. Now, in this case, I had the bits and pieces, and I did it all manually, and I replaced each manual bit by an automation bit, then sped it up, and then there's a research prototype where you've got different ways of doing it. Keep it open, and the main thing it does is report error signals to you, so you can diagnose and improve it. So I've gone through that, and then there's the development prototype where you run it. Now, in this case, because the objective was to do many podcasts, I would just stack, you know, 10 and over 2 days, say 20 podcasts ready to go. So there's 1,500 podcasts I've done since I've recovered. And early on, I would just keep on loading in the podcasts and seeing where it fell over. And where it fell over is things like slow bandwidth, like incredibly poor upload speed, and say poor computer control. And there is a way of creating a network or community of programs which monitor each other, and essentially the upload engine is standalone. And it sits there, and it's not my own one, it's the one that I've picked out, and it can do multiple uploads, and it doesn't upload just one file, it uploads a MP3 file, but also uploads a video file of it, then uploads automatically a quiz. If I leave the quiz blank, because I run out of time, it uploads also a finder word. This is for kids getting into the class. Sitting on top of that, I have an app writing engine, which converts every podcast into an app. So sometimes when I'm was doing a string of podcasts, I'd have a podcast app and use new languages, basically a new system of mathematics, the apps. So I've basically written robotic software. This is not with a word of a lie, that writes apps, mobile phone apps. There's a talk of the devil. I'm nearly home. And this is a standard sort of thing. Or seeing you've got a beginning and end. I have, unfortunately, a beginning and end. It's from when I can start podcasting to when I have to walk in the front door. Obviously, I can't go, "Hi, hun, I'm home, but shut up the moment. I'm podcasting." So that's a general idea. And again, be great if you're there and you can listen to it. If you can't, no worries. There's no loss. It doesn't cost me anything. It's all positive aspect. So for this, I've had to remember things. I had to remember your name. I've forgotten the name of the microphone, but I've written that down. And this is the general process that I have to do, is write and remember. And it's this huge, huge, monumental effort to go. But this is the rehabilitation. It's just out there. And it's a really unusual thing. Normally, people get fixed up, but not enough to really rehabilitate. I've been fixed up, and I've got a lot of rehabilitation to do. But fortunately, a lot of good health, and a lot of time, and a lot of community to help me. Thanks a lot for listening. Thanks for the masterclass.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.